do this in 30 minutes. We will now have questions and answers. I will ask a question directed to all the speakers. Afterward, we will open it up so that everyone can ask questions of either a specific speaker or the group as a whole. Responses will be limited to 2 minutes each. We will end at 3:20. Or 3:45. Would you wish time? Okay.
Yeah.
So there we go. Okay, so my one question, and it's directed to all of you, and we'll just go down the road. With the theme of recovery and relapse, how long did it take you after relapsing to get your recovery back, and what did you need to do to get it back?
Let's see. It took about a year and a half, and I had to change my whole lifestyle and make away the number one thing in my life. So it's not just about the meetings, but, you know, working with my sponsor, being really honest about what I'm feeling and what's going on, and I mean, shifting everything, because before it was just things were all over the place, and, you know, going to meetings, doing reading, writing, making OA the number one thing in my life, and that, yeah, it still took a year and a half after that. So, and constantly praying. I know, you know, somebody else said it didn't work, but praying for the willingness to be absent, because it took such a long time for me to become absent.
How long? I'm weird. It took a day, literally. I reached that point where I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I went to a meeting. You know, with that, there was geographics, because I had moved from Florida back to Los Angeles. Not to say that I had never binged in Los Angeles, because the first time I moved here, before I got into the program, I spent too much binging back in 2006, before I had that aha moment in my first meeting with Serenity Sunday 5 years ago, July. What I did was, just having been through it before, I was just like, I'm completely powerless, and I'm willing to do whatever someone tells me. And I went to look for a sponsor who I believed would be clear and black and white and definite about what's happening. And in my mind, that said, from my experiences in the past, and this is my experience, I found that people who have been working a really great OA program tend to be people who are also in AA. My sponsor's been in AA for 20 years. He also is somebody who I saw, I was like, wow, this guy's big, he's loud, he's funny, he's got a wife and kids, that's what I want to be in 15 years. So boom, he became my sponsor, and he literally every day was like, okay. First thing he said to me was, how's your relationship with sugar and flour? And I'm, in my mind, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what you need to do, boom. I mean, so it was like, I saw immediately my resistance. I was like, oh, resistance, really? You want to go back to the hospital? Yeah, shut up and do it.
Okay, it took me a little over 2 years to get it back. I had to come back to meetings, and I did get 1 year of abstinence, and I had lost 30 pounds. And then talk about peer pressure. I was still taking care of my mother, and we'd be out, and she'd get very, very upset because I wouldn't eat the dessert, split the dessert with her, and, you know, and why can't you just eat one piece of bread? What's wrong with you? And, you know, and eventually it just, you know, rattled me so much that I stopped going to meetings and gained back even more weight. And then when I came back again, it was one day. You know, I came back, and for whatever reason, I was ready to, you know, receive that grace, and that was it.
For me, I had a couple of, you know, again, a long time of slipping and sliding before I went. The thing that worked for me, at least to get abstinent, is I really had to have a very tightly defined abstinence, at least in the beginning. Because I was the king of the amazing moving abstinence. You know, what's my, you know, I mean, I joked about it, you know, about saying, you know, I was the king of the, I'm redefining my abstinence. And no, I had broken my abstinence, it was just redefining my honesty, you know. And for me, I needed to, for a while, just say, there can't be any flexibility. It's not that that would work. What worked to get me abstinent again would not work in the long term. But I had become such a manipulator and game player, I needed to get it really tight for a while. Then I could open it up. But I had tried all those. Well, I don't want to, again, my disease talking to me. Well, you don't want to turn it into a diet, And the reality is, we're all on diets. I've been on a no-liver diet since I left my mother's house, And for me, I just had to realize that was my disease talking. I needed to get strict for a while because I had so abused my ability to be flexible that I needed to do that. Then later I was able to open it up, but with help of other people. Because, me alone deciding on a food plan is like, giving the inmates the keys to the asylum. That's me.
For myself, I've been in the program 16 years, but when I left, I really went out. I went out for about 3 years. And during that time, having our two babies, having our first child made me very afraid that I was going to turn into my father, who was a rageaholic, and that I was going to repeat all this stuff he did, and I was eating over with the father I could have been. Mm-hmm. And then I got type 2 diabetes, and I started getting spots on my feet and losing my vision. But that still didn't do it. What did it was when I had my second child, our daughter, and I was looking at her, he's holding her, literally when her head just fits in your palm. And I was looking at her and I'm thinking, I don't want someone else walking her down the aisle when she gets married. I don't want it to be a friend of the family or an uncle. I want it to be me. And I made my children my higher power. They didn't ask to be born, but they're here and it's my responsibility. So that's what got me abstinent. Again, came back into rooms. I'm no longer type 2 diabetic. I don't have to be on medicines. The spots are all gone. And I think I'm a better father today. Let's open up the questions to everybody. You can direct it to anyone that you like, who does have a question for the panel. Please.
To everybody, if you could go back and say something to yourself before you left the program, what would it be, a message of self-care that either someone else could have said to you that might have kept you in program, or that was said to you, or did you just need to do that?
It's a really good question, and I don't think anything anybody would have said would have made a difference, because I'm just so stubborn.
Or that you could have said to yourself, that would have maybe said,
That is all true, and that is all very nice, but, you have to be, I wasn't at that space, so I think words are only helpful so much,
right.
If you're not willing in your heart, then.
I agree with that. Actions. The amazing part of my experience is I played high school and college football, and I had never, ever, ever been admitted to the hospital. Eating admitted me to the hospital. And even still after that, I continued to eat. So, the action of hitting this crazy, ridiculous physical bottom for me is what it... because I think about that. I see it. And it's like I have such compassion when I see other people who are 500 pounds... Who have given themselves type 2 diabetes and all this other stuff. And the thing that I say in my head is, it doesn't have to be this way. Maybe that's what I might have said to myself, that it doesn't have to be this way. But I don't think I would have been able to hear it.
I actually did have people saying, things to me that were, like my friends who said, since you let your mother back in your life, don't you think you're eating a little bit more? And they said it, my closest friends said it in the most loving way that anybody could possibly say it, but, at that point in my life, my fear of not being able to take care of myself because there was money involved in taking care of her, my fear of not being able to take care of myself overrode my belief in myself, and that, That's the mindset that I was in. I couldn't see anything else.
Yeah, I got to agree with what's sort of been said. You know, I'm a really smart person. I understand English really well, and I understand a lot of things that are in these books. But it's one of those things where, you know, until you're really ready, it's the words bounce off your head. They really do. And, you know, I've seen that. I had an old sponsor. I came complaining about trying to help somebody get absent. And he said, you know, they can't hear it until they can hear it. And for me, I think it was I had to have a certain amount of pain, you know, for it to get in. I know people who've gotten absent and who walked in the door and their first meeting was a traditions meeting. That person's ready.
Yes.
What does it look like when God shows up in your life? And what are examples of how God has shown up for you or you connected with God?
Somebody repeat the question.
What was it like when God, your higher power, showed up in your life?
Or how on a daily basis?
Or how does it appear on a daily basis
like
to your program?
Okay. I have a really big recent example. A week and a half ago, I found out that my cousin slash business partner stole thousands upon thousands of dollars from me, putting me in a very bad financial situation. And horrible. And just out of nowhere, like completely working my steps, writing an angry letter to God, being pissed off, coming back and being like, all right, whatever, I'll deal with this, I'll believe in you, I'll trust in you. The very next day, I found a buyer for my truck that I've been trying to sell for three months. They'd offered me 50% more than what CarMax would have given me, just given, you know, huge. I now know how I can pay my rent and everything, and I'm okay for a few months. Huge. Who's going to buy a truck with a V8 that gets 10 miles to the gallon with 5 gallons? Really? That's
yeah.
God.
There you go. God drives a truck.
Yeah.
That's right on my bumper. Would anyone else like to answer that question? Yes.
For me, you know, that's a really good question. And for me, it's not something that happens every day. Okay, so if I look for it every day, then forget about it. But it happens in certain times. Like, for example, I was really angry at my brother-in-law, and I was just going to disown both my sister and brother-in-law because they really got my nerve. Anyway, it's a long story. But I wrote about it, da-da-da. And then, you know, and I don't know exactly why it's happened. I don't know exactly, but my brother-in-law, who's been basically an asshole for the last 10 years that I've known him, was actually really, really nice to me a couple of weeks ago, you know? And it might not sound like a big deal, but when there are kids involved, and, you know, I do care about my nephews, it was like, oh, my God, even if this is not like a permanent change in me, if it's a one-time thing, you know, it was just like, oh, my God, thank God. If I would have been in program, I would have told them both goodbye, and now I'm in it, and I can enjoy my nephews, who I really love.
Well, I can just say that one of the things I notice is, and I mentioned it earlier, is I'll have a thought pop in my head that is so foreign to the way I usually think about things that it catches me unaware, and I think, wow, I wonder if that's the voice of God. And the other thing is I was given this wonderful circuit breaker of sense of humor, that the little annoying things drive me crazy, but when something really big happens, I, for some reason, can see the humor in it. And find the humor, you know. And I think maybe that's God helping me keep from going crazy. Yeah.
Would you like to answer that?
I would. For me, it's basically a daily practice of making a decision to treat myself in a loving way and nurture myself so that I can be of service to others, because in the condition that I had gotten myself in, I could act out like I was helping everybody else, but I was just not present. And I think that for me, spirituality is about being present in the moment and accepting what's happening, and being able to act on reality.
Another question for the panel. Yes.
On the subject of sponsors, some people have talked about having been away from the program for a long time and then coming back, a long relapse. And so I'm wondering what you did about getting a new sponsor, going back to the old sponsor, just in general, speaking to that sponsor. How did you choose a sponsor the second time, third time around, or whatever?
I know for myself, what's really great is that I remember, and I think it might have been you, John, who told me a long time ago, because John sponsored me in this program and another program, that, you know, if you can't find who you want to sponsor, you find a Band-Aid or someone to sponsor you right then and there. Because, you know, if you sponsor yourself, it's like, oh, yeah, can I have tacos and burritos? Yes, you can. I'm your sponsor. You know? I always remember that. So, so for me, it's like, find anyone, let it be a Band-Aid, whatever, but don't trust yourself to sponsor yourself. Because you're the person who brought yourself into the disease. You're not born with it. You get it. You go out and you apprehend that disease. So you got to be responsible for that. Who else would like to answer that question?
I had somebody say that this is one of the places where the program has got a dead on when you read the tools of recovery. Find somebody who has what you want and ask them, because I went through this period of, well, I need to resonate with my sponsor. Well, what I'm looking for is a clone of myself. And it's the last thing I need. I need to find somebody that I like what they have and take new ideas, because otherwise, you know, again, I don't need me.
I didn't get a sponsor right away for a while, probably about 6 months, and I'm in therapy twice a week, and you know, I need to be there. I also did eventually get a sponsor, and it's somebody that I have known from the very beginning. We've known each other for 27 years, and she's got 26 years of continuous abstinence. She's also got a husband that's in the program and works on her relationship and her family, and that was something that was very attractive to me. I do not talk to her a lot, but I do tell her what's going on with me, and I see her twice a week at meetings, so you know, that's what I did.
For me, it was really important to find somebody who's happy and that has a good relationship with other people. So my sponsor is, she has good relationships at work and with family. She's married and has kids and grandkids and actually great-grandkids. And so that was really, really important. I mean, not that she has great-grandkids, but you know, she has really good relationships with people around her. And she's thin.
Yeah, for me, same thing. Fine. Look for somebody who has what you want. I think I've been very fortunate. My current sponsor is actually really now my closest friend. I mean, we really honestly, and it's been a strange confluence of events because we both were working for ourselves at a lot of time, same industry. None of the stuff I knew anything about him at all when I asked him to be my sponsor. And all just kind of, it's God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. I mean, literally, like, one day we went to go check out a campsite for his kids for school, drove up to Santa Barbara in Ohio. I spent the whole day, literally all day and into the night. I mean, and I thought to myself, isn't this amazing that this program has put me with somebody who I can not only spend 15 hours a day with and enjoy time, but like, we want to spend time. We want to talk to each other. I want to call him at 6:45. Like, I literally sit at the phone at 6:44 and I'm like, boom. And he knows something's wrong if it's 6:46. He's like, you usually call, you know, whatever. But I mean, and I know this is not the case for most people. I talk to my friends and like, my sponsor didn't listen to me. My sponsor didn't like me. I don't know what to tell you, but I love my sponsor. He's great.
Do we have another question? Yes, please.
What would you say to someone who knows she's focused on the physical recovery for too long and needs to focus on the spiritual recovery, but really just stuck in?
Okay, so what would we ask she,
her,
it, them, about focusing on their body?
How to get out.
So how to get away from the image of the outside and focus on the inside.
There you go.
Okay. Who would like to start with that? Ladies first. John?
Okay. Well, I would just, you know, sometimes it's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing that I know for me, I started to want to look at the spiritual stuff so that I didn't have to think about working on the food, because that was my default way. But I also know that the same person will eat again, and that I really needed to work on some of these things. And, it, you know, I don't have a traditional, also, I don't have a traditional higher power. You know, one of the things I heard in my first program was the only thing you have to understand about God is you're not it. And for me, that is one of my real important things, is that for me, as it was said by somebody earlier, it's really about getting out of self as much as humanly possible. And self, you know, just like you said, obsessing about the weight, you know, is a big part of it, you know. And I heard in another program somebody used to say, you take care of the fork, let God take care of the scale. You know, just do things sanely and then work on the other stuff. And part of that, like I said, is the whole, for me, if you take the whole program and reduce it down, to use a cooking term, it's serenity prayer. You know, accept the things you can't change, the courage to change the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And for me, it's about getting out and getting outside of myself.
To add to that, I mean, when I first weighed myself last July, and that was the first time I'd weighed myself in 10 years. I honestly didn't know how much I weighed in 10 years. I had to, when it finally got that number, whatever it was, 470, 80, whatever, I had to make it about, like, not about the results, because that was too daunting of a number. Mm. I had no idea, like, it was so crazy, because I was like, how did I even get to the size? Literally. Like, I saw myself in a mirror every day, but I didn't, the disease, I don't see myself. I still really, like, I look in the mirror, people will tell me, oh my God, you don't even look like whatever. I was at a college reunion a couple weeks ago. People didn't know who I was. But I still see the same person. So I had to make it about, you know, to doing, like John said, doing what I can do and leaving the results to God. So like when I would go weigh in 1 week and I didn't lose any weight, it's not my business. You know, there's been times where I've, you know, done everything, eaten the right things, worked out, and didn't lose a drop of pound. You know, I was telling some people earlier at the break, the week before Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving week, and the week after Thanksgiving, didn't exercise, had a good old Southern Thanksgiving, fried turkey and everything. I lost 21 pounds this 3 weeks. That's God's business. It's not mine.
Anyone else like to answer that? Yes?
First of all, if it was just somebody in program, I wouldn't, you know, their business is not my business. But if it was my sponsee, I would say be a service. That's what I would say, whether it's being a timer or whatever, and, you know, be a service and work the steps and, yeah. I wouldn't really mention, you know, let's not focus on your thighs. I mean, you know, not focusing on food never helped me. So, but when I'm too busy with program, then I don't have time to obsess as much about the food and about my body.
For me, Roseanne, our founder, I remember one time at Serenity Sunday, she pulled me aside and she was kind of pissed. And she goes, you know what, I'm hearing a lot of people talking about the spiritual part, but she goes, that's not why I started this program. She goes, this is not a fat club. This is not a place where people can gain weight and stay heavy and live with it and be happy. This is a place where people, you know, find the spiritual part of the program, and from the inside out comes the recovery. And she goes, I think that message got lost. And that was from the voice of our founder, and it's because of that. My answer is, I'm only here because I didn't want to be 400 pounds anymore. I didn't like being obese, and you know, when I walk into a place, people call me Newman from Seinfeld. I didn't like that. You know, it hurt my feelings. I might laugh it off and stuff, but inside, I was raging. I was angry. I'm here because I don't want to, you know, look the way I used to look. I'm staying here because I want to look the way I look now. This program has results more than anything else out there, and that's why I'm here. So, you know, that is the true answer, is because I wasn't happy how I looked on the outside. Because if I could still look right now the way I do and eat what I want, I wouldn't be here. Okay, to respect everyone's time, we have time for one more question. And who would like to ask that question? Yes, please.
Mine is about fasting. I used to do it a lot. And, mine is about fasting. I used to do it a lot. That's how I kept my weight under control. And I'm just really right now totally furious because I can see that I won't be allowed to do this anymore if I work a food plant. And I haven't been doing it. And look what it's got me. But I've been binging. No, that's the other half. Oh, God, I'm just such a mess right now.
So what's your question?
How do you get all this spirituality that you're talking about? I have not an iota of spirituality at all, and I don't, you know, really want any.
Okay, so the question is, how do you get spirituality in this program?
Okay, that's an awesome question. Act as if, literally. When I moved here and I got my new sponsor and everything, my landlord that I had at the time, insane, stole money from me. People steal a lot of money from me. I'm just kidding. Jesus, God almighty. Anyway.
Temporary loan.
Yeah. Anyway. And I was really resentful. And my sponsor was like, pray for him. I'm like, what? No, pray for him. And literally my first prayer for this man was, God, I hate his fucking guts. I hope he fucking dies. That was my prayer to God. The prayers got better. And, you know, over time, when I continued to pray for him, I really honestly wanted him to get better. I started to see that this man was doing this because he has huge money problems. He can't tell the truth. He's running from X, Y, and Z. What a horrible life that must be. And I ran into him 3 months after I had moved out. Literally, like, he almost bumped into me physically. He couldn't even look me in the eye. He stole from me. And I was willing to say, hey, how are you? How's it going? Are things... And I genuinely wanted to know if he was okay. I mean, that's acting as if. Just do it. It might feel phony, but the more you do it, the more you do it. It's like working a muscle. The bigger it gets, the better it gets, the stronger it gets.
Good. Since my spirituality is probably the most non-traditional, I will say that walking into the rooms and for me and say, here's a group of people who probably all have different types of abstinences, different types of food plans, probably none of which include fasting, because I also used to do that. And they're all here and alive and showing up and you know, nobody's dying from how they're eating at the moment. You know, just seeing the proof that this program works for other people. You know, for me, I was very afraid when I created my food plan. You know, I thought, well, I'm going to write it down, and I'm going to try it. I'm just going to give it a try, and I'll see how it works. You know, and I can always change it if I need to. And I'm just going to show up at the meetings and give it a try. And, you know, that was a kind way to treat myself in making this decision to be abstinent.
You're saying go to a lot of meetings?
Go to a lot of meetings. You know, go to as many meetings as you can. And listen to what other people do. And eventually, if you know, just write down how you would like to eat.
I can say for me, you know, I came into this program really spiritually sick, but that wouldn't have gotten me any better had I not also been physically sick enough to be willing to say, okay, tell me what to do. And in the beginning, because I was so spiritually sick, the idea, you know, doing some of these things, like you said, you know, I don't even really want to be spiritual. I mean, I had to I wish I could have said I came in and took a Gandhi-like approach to the program and did all these things because of the right reasons. I did them in the beginning because I for selfish reasons. But that's as good as it could be at the time. But they told me, if I do this, I will get better, if I do these things. And the great thing about program is program tends to put the cart before the horse sometimes. I got into selfless acts because my sponsor said, you're going to do service. You're going to clean ashtrays. Well, they don't have that anymore, but, you know, that kind of stuff. You're going to do this, you're going to do that. And I would do it because this is what I was told to do, and I wanted to get better in the other areas. So I figured, okay, well, I'll do this. I don't understand it. Then later I could look back and go, wow, this was great. This is exactly what I needed to do, but left to my own devices, I wouldn't have. But it was exactly what I needed to do. And then I began to see the rewards of being out of the self to the point where I could do it. And I would just say right now, if you feel like you don't want to be spiritual, that you may want to consider there may be a spiritual sickness driving that, and that if you keep coming and keep doing those things, you may find you will want to.
Anyone else have to answer that? For myself, I was okay. And that's all the time we have. Yep, he's coming back to more meetings.
Thanks a lot.